Hello and welcome into the Intern Allen Show. It is Monday, April 8th. Loon my mom's birthday tomorrow. Um, 8:52 p.m. in Miami. Yeah, we've got a action-packed show for you. The NCAA Tournament Championship game is starting in roughly 40 minutes or 30 minutes, whatever. It's either 9:20, 9:30, I don't remember. Eastern, which is insane, but whatever. I will talk about it. This podcast won't come out until after the game's over, so it'd be kind of pointless to do a preview, but I'm going to do a preview, and then we'll just see how wrong or right I am later. I will do like 10 minutes or something. Just whatever. When the game is over tonight, I'll just hop back on and record however long I feel like talking about what I thought about the game. Also, we'll recap the Twins, the Wolves, and we have a lengthy Masters preview with Loon Megs and Loon Beast guests on the pod. Also watching the Twins right now. Dodgers just tied it up. So that's annoying. Steven Okert, low-key, blowing chunks out there. But it's the heart of the Dodger. Anyway, let's get into it. Probably, yeah, let's start with the championship game. It's been like the last time I recorded, I think, was like last week in the middle of the Elite Eight. So I don't even think I had the fact that Purdue and NC State were going to the Final Four yet. But whatever, that's old news at this point. The actual first two games of the Final Four, the national semifinals, neither game was great. I wouldn't think anybody would say. NC State played bad, but Purdue did not play a good game by their standards at all. And still won pretty handily. NC State didn't really have anything in the tank against a team of that caliber, right? Ended up being a 13-point game. NC State just put up 50 points, which is, you know, they avoided putting up like 48. 48 and 50 are very different numbers in college basketball. If you put up 48, you start getting accused of being like Virginia. Put up 50, people are like, oh, like it's not good. It's definitely not good, but I feel like people overlook it a little bit more. Purdue was by far not their best either. They probably played a B-minus game and still won pretty comfortably. Any way that it happens is fine. Obviously, road to the final loon has me, if Purdue wins tonight, I will be winning road to the final loon. If UConn wins tonight, Loon Megs will be winning road to the final loon. Also in road to the final loon isn't for money. It's just for, you know, which loon is the best. But outside of road to the final loon, I'm in a couple other pools, two of which I will win if, I'm in four other pools, two of which I will win if Purdue wins tonight, and that'll be like a good $400 payday, which will be nice. So knock on wood for that. The other one I'm just going to fall short because somebody else has Purdue and is a better bracket than me. And then the other one I used a different bracket that I let Loon Girlfriend pick the picks on. And it's actually pretty good, but not good enough to win. UConn, somewhat of a similar story here. They did not play their best game. Or maybe they just played kind of played their game. I feel like they're so incredibly consistent, which is really scary. But Alabama was with them for a little bit. At one point it was 56 to 56, something like that. as late as like what would have been the third quarter if men's college basketball used quarters. What do they do, like the media timeouts instead? Let me look it up real quick. Yeah, with like 12 minutes left, it was 56-56. And from that point on, UConn just sort of found a different gear. Win, won the game. In a way that I, you know, even though they had a bit of a scare. Oh, what a catch by Ryan Buxton. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That probably saved a run. If you're not watching the Twins tonight, heard that was sick. Love seeing it back out in the center field. Let's go watching the replay. This is really good podcasting. Just a tailing liner in right center, tailing away from the center fielder, lays completely out. Got some like legitimate air in that. Damn. Runner on second, too. That would have saved a run for sure. Nearly doubled him off on second, too. Jesus. All right. Let's go, Buck. We need that because Okur is not pitching well right now. Anyway. Where was I? UConn. Yeah, they looked how they look. And Alabama played a really, really good three quarters of a basketball game and then couldn't quite hang with the big boys. Obviously, I really need Purdue to win tonight. I don't need them to, you know, I'll lose a couple, you know, $40 or whatever if they don't, but, just in terms of my entrance into each of these bracket pools, but we'll make a good $400 if they win, which will be sick. That being said, I think UConn is definitely going to win this game. Maybe I'm trying to jinx it here a little bit. I don't know. I feel like I'm just like trying not to get my hopes up. UConn just – when I picked Purdue, right, to win the title, I was like the odds of UConn just buzzing through the entire field the way they did last year are not that high or not as high as I feel like a lot of people think they are. And they have a tough region, blah, 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 blah. They did exactly that. No game has been close. To be fair, no game has really been close for Purdue. That being said, I just think the way in which Purdue has won each of these games, or the way in which UConn has won each of these games, is just, it's just a different level. And yeah, I guess Purdue against Tennessee was kind of close too, but they just seem a little bit dominant. And here's, all right, so I'll give the blueprint of what Purdue kind of has to do. The big thing about UConn is that they can win pretty much every way. They're so balanced as a team. They have one of the best big men in the country, one of the best guards in the country. They got guys that can just shoot the lights out of the ball. And it just seems like no matter what you kind of force them to do, they're comfortable and they can just go do it. And that's what we've seen in these tournaments, both of them, that sort of whatever you need, they can give you. The big thing is there's only one Zach Edey, right? And depending on how this game is officiated, that could be a very big deal. And maybe even regardless of how it's officiated, there is only one Zach Edey. And that's sort of maybe the last thing that they haven't seen yet. A guy of his size, as skilled as he is. Obviously, they have one of their own, right? In Donovan Clingan, who is over 7 foot. He's still shorter than Zach Edey, but at that point, you know, it doesn't make a huge difference. Basically, that up front center matchup has to be a huge advantage in Purdue's favor. Donovan Clingan, I feel like a lot of sort of the country and the way we talk about basketball, a lot of the media sort of views Donovan Clingan as like Zach Edey, like light, like a sort of free version of Zach Edey, and then the paid app is Zach Edey himself. That's sort of the vibe. But that can't happen. Like, they can't be comparable on the court. Akiji has to be that much better than him for this game to be close. Because I think you could make a case for the point guards a little bit. Tristan Newton and Braden Smith being kind of close. And maybe one place, you know, if Braden Smith has a really good game, then maybe we have... I'm saying we as if I'm a Purdue fan for my entire life. Maybe we have an advantage at two positions, but we need to have such a huge advantage at the center position that our slight disadvantages everywhere else are sort of neutralized. If we can get their guys in foul trouble, though, because they're, you know, the refs are choking on Zachy's dick, then... That'd be good. That'd be good. That's my prediction. I have a few notes from, like, the last few games. I think these are from, like, the Elite Eight games that I actually took. I said 40 from Zach Edey. Yes, sir. I think that was the Elite Eight game when he put up 40. Edey, congrats on the sex. What did that mean? Oh, there was, like, a video going around of him, like, inviting a girl into a room at, like, some college party. And everybody was like, ooh, Zach Edey and a girl. Like, what, like, did you think he was gay? Like, I, you know, I don't know. It's a college party. Like, fucking, you know, Dalton, who's dropping 10 on the intramural team for the frat, is bringing girls to his room. Like, you think Zach Edey isn't? I don't know anybody named Dalton, by the way. That's not true. I think I do, but, like, that was just a random name. DJ Burns still rocks. He couldn't really do anything against Zach Edey, but that Elite Eight game, he wailed. He's just so good, like, anywhere within 15 feet. I didn't even realize he was left-handed. I was like, wow, he just makes everything with his left. He just is left-handed. But he definitely makes shit with his right, too. So that's why, you know, it's confused. Yeah, I think that's all the notes. Real quick on the women's tournament. South Carolina won. Seemed like it was coming. I watched the final. They were the better team the whole time. I was hanging in as long as they could. But they just kind of were never the better. They were never, you never were watching that game. It was like, wow, I was the better team. It was never happening. It was South Carolina's letting them hang around type of thing. They're a really, really good basketball team. And, I don't know. Like, I've never watched more women's hoops than, like, this year, this past, like, month. I've watched more women's hoops than, you know, in a while. South Carolina is, like, very fun to watch. Iowa, when Caitlin Clark isn't cooking, is a little tough, because they, like, just feed it into, like, when Caitlin Clark isn't making her threes, right? She's, like, creating everything else, and then the players around her just, like, aren't quite as good, and they're, like, missing open threes, or they're smoking layups after, like, a perfect assist. That is not happening at South Carolina. South Carolina is kind of like UConn, where they just, like, it's so well put together and working perfectly all the time. That being said, everybody, like, shitting on Caitlin Clark for, like, actually no reason. Like, maybe I'm not as tuned in. Has she done anything other than, like, the flop against, on, like, the court storm against Ohio State that happened, like, 4 months ago? Other than that, like, has she ever said anything, like, bad, or, like, been a bitch sometime, or, like given anybody a reason not to like her? Or do we just all not like her for no reason? Because, like, on the ESPN broadcast, they have, like, current WNBA, like, Diana Taurasi, like Breonna Stewart, like, shit like that, like, just talking shit, saying, like, oh, she's going to, like, suck when she gets to the league? Like, first of all, probably not. Second of all, like, what did she ever do to, like, make you not like her? Is there a reason for that? Like, there's a direction I could take this conversation that I don't think would be like the best idea, but like, did she ever do anything wrong other than like just be good? Like the lady whose record she broke is like bitching that her record isn't actually accurate, or like because she didn't have a 3-point line and she was playing with a men's ball or whatever. But like, is that Caitlin Clark's fault that the game is different than it used to be? Like, was she ever, I don't know. I just feel like everybody hates her for no reason. And I was personally like a very big fan because like she could have gone to UConn and women's basketball would have been boring because they would just keep winning. She could have gone to South Carolina and that just like dominated and beat everybody by 40 instead of barely winning some of these games. She went to Iowa and created a place where just like there's players around her weren't as good and brought it up. Could have taken a big NIL bag to transfer, but still got, you know, a big NIL bag because she created something where she was. Like, I don't know. Like when she was playing Paige Beckers in the Final Four to go to the championship game, I was like, yeah, Paige Beckers is from Minnesota, but like, I feel like Caitlin Clark being from Iowa and playing for Iowa is a little bit like cooler than somebody. Sure, she's from Minnesota, but then she left to go to UConn, to go to the established place. It's like KD going to the Warriors. Like, I don't know. and all she gets is like shit on. I don't know. I don't understand it. But that's enough women's basketball talk. I think that's enough basketball talk in general. Let's go to the Twins. Again, I'll recap after the game is over. I'll pop on, record my thoughts for a real quick minute about what happened. I'm getting low-key nervous because, like, I haven't been thinking about the game tonight. Like, I could make a decent amount of money. That could be kind of fun. I don't actually usually do this where there's money on the game, you know? Anyway. Twins, 1-4 since last pod. Not good. Not good. Lost the last game of the Royal Series after starting out 2-0. Got killed in that one. Split against the Brewers. Just a 2-game series. And then lost 2 to the Guardians. Both just brutal, sucky fucking games. And then got rained out last night. Playing the Dodgers tonight. Currently 2-2, which is nice. You know, the Dodgers are a very good baseball team, so we're hanging with them. Kind of expected to watch us just get destroyed by the Dodgers tonight, but so far, so not that bad. Yeah, the offense is a concern again. I think the team... This is prior to the Dodger game, but we've only put up 2 runs, so I doubt it's any different. All our runs are on 1 swing of the bat. Manuel Margot with a pump earlier in the game. But prior to this game, the team as a whole was batting under 200, which, like, 15 years ago, if you batted under 200, you were, like, not allowed to be in the major leagues, no matter how good you were at anything else. It was just, like... You are too bad at hitting to play in this league, so you're not going to play. So what if the entire team is averaging below that? That's not good. That's really not good. And that's why we put up, like, let me just go through the game logs here. Four runs, 5 runs, 0 runs. Those 4 and 5 runs were in wins. 2 runs, 7 runs. All right, let's go. 2 runs, 1 run. Currently at 2 runs. Oh, just allowed a homer. Dodgers are now leading. 2, we just allowed a homer to the 8 hitter. Probably the only guy in the lineup I've never heard of. So that's no good. But yeah, concerns with the offense again. Kirilloff and Correa are like ripping the shit out of the ball. They're both like well over 350 in average. Correa's on base is like, it's like 500 or something like that. Let me look this up so I'm not talking out of my asshole. But I think he was leading the league in on base before coming into this game. OPS is at 988 right now, which is very good. Let me find this. What the hell? Should be easier to find this than this. Yeah, he's on base is 533 right now. That's nuts. I mean, he's on base half the time. Which is leading the league. Kirilloff is also ripping the shit out of the ball. He's, I think, in averages in 380s right now. I think it was the second game, the game that we won against the Brewers, he was like 3 for 4 with a pump or something like that too. Other than that, very not good all around. So right now, two guys in the lineup are hitting well, and everybody else is hitting very badly. Some names that are just pretty disgusting averages right now. Eddie Julian, remember when he batted like 340 last year? Yeah, he's batting 130. Carlos Santana brought in first a little offensive help, batting 154 going into this game. I think he's got a knock tonight, so hopefully that's up a point or two. Buxton is at 231. That's a little bit where he lives, and we sort of get over it. We're okay with that because of some of the slugging. He's been good in this game. Obviously had that diving catch and had a good little base running thing. He's a little bit back as like an athlete for now. Not seemingly not as affected by the injuries. but yeah. Some of the other guys you're not necessarily expecting to be great, but Willie Castro, like I said, all these guys are like under 200 right now. Pitching wise, it's been pretty good. Bailey Ober got killed in his first start against the Royals, but he was really good against the Dodgers tonight. So one run in five innings, five full, I think, allowed in the first run or first inning. And we're like, okay, here we go again. But was low-key dialed after that. Varland got bumped around a little bit. I think it was three runs in four innings, which is, you know, not perfect, but not horrible. Everybody else pitched pretty well. Pablo Lopez and Joe Ryan both with two really good starts to start the year. We just can't give them any run support, and so we're 3-4 currently. Bullpen has also been good. They haven't been great in this game, but no real blow-ups yet, and mostly pretty good. A lot of guys that haven't even allowed a run yet in two or three appearances. So, I don't know. It feels a little bit like I don't know. Like, is it, what, 8 games in the season? Yes. So, like, maybe we shouldn't be all that concerned? Sure. Some key guys are injured? Sure. That being said, we've been waiting for the offense to wake up kind of like every year starting the season for, like, a couple months, and then eventually it does and everything's fine. So maybe, like, that's just going to happen again. But when your pitcher is sort of dicing the other team and then your hitters are just putting together horrible at-bats and not scoring any runs, it is very frustrating to, like, watch as a baseball team. And I think that frustration then turns into, like, wanting to freak out about the team as a whole and sort of the possible for success this season. And I think it's too early to do that, but, like, it's very reasonable reaction when you're just, like, watching how bad the team is. Anyway, Miranda's back up. That's going to change everything. It's not. But he was hitting really well in AAA. Don't know what he's looked like tonight. Haven't tuned in super closely to his at-bats, but, obviously with the Royce Lewis injury and then moved some other guys around, Daniel Duarte went on the IL or something like that. Yeah, I think that's who made room for him. So we'll see. Maybe this recent trip to AAA, he made some adjustments and now he's good again. I'll just say I have my doubts. But That's the Twins. Shohei Ohtani just hit a homer, I believe. Yep. Okay. Well, so Jay Jackson just came in and allowed two pumps. At least this one's to Shohei. He's a good player. Now we have to score two runs in three innings. Do we feel like we can do that? Well, we really don't. Anyway, the Wolves. I believe 3-2. Let me check the notes. 3-2 since the last pod. We do have quite a bit of Masters talk, so I'll rip through these pretty quickly. 109, also the season's essentially over. Obviously, we're competing for the one seed, but... Jesus, nearly another one. Freddie Freeman hit a very long foul ball. 3-2 since the last pod. 109-101 loss to the Bulls. This was like directly after I was like, team's really finding a stride, playing really well. Anthony Edwards playing out of his mind, and then we lose to the Bulls. That being said, the Bulls shot 58% from three, and we shot 29%. There's not a lot of NBA games you're going to win with those numbers. Getting outshot from the field or from 3-point by 19 points. Just kidding. 28 points. I can't do math. Points. Jesus Christ. It's just really not a winning scenario. And we only lost the game by 8 points. So, that's almost encouraging. Because, you know, any NBA team can shoot 58% from three, and any NBA team can shoot 29%. And so stuff like that happens sometimes. Sometimes you lose games like that. But it doesn't necessarily mean a lot. 103-106 win against the Rockets. The Rockets are not a very good basketball team. Naz Reid with 25, Ant with 21. Naz Reid and Ant have sort of... There was a bit of a like settling in period for what does this team look like without Kat, and then Rudy was out for a bit. Now that the team is kind of settled in, Naz Reid has like very much become the second option scoring wise, and you'll see that in pretty much all these box scores is either he or Ant is leading the team in points almost every night. And then nobody else is particularly close. Every now and then Conley or McDaniels will have a good shooting night and they'll be right up there, but beat the Rockets. Bit of a close win, but ultimately wasn't a ton of doubt who's going to take that one. Just absolutely destroyed the Raptors, 133-85. 28 from Ant, 23 from Naz. Limited minutes from the starters here. I think a lot of them were under 30. Because the game was just so never close. Next game is a little bit interesting and might be a little bit telling of what this team might struggle with coming in the playoffs. Just an absolute rock fight to the Suns. We lost 97-87. It just seemed like the defensive game plan was like, don't let Ant score no matter what. And make everybody else beat you. And it worked. We put up only 87 points. Ant had 17 on pretty inefficient shooting. None of the other starters like even got into double digits. And it just was kind of an ugly game. To be fair, we played pretty good defense. We kept the Suns to under 100. Then they scored 97 themselves, but just not a great performance offensively. And it's indicative a little bit of what the concern is in terms of the lack of scoring. That was a concern with Kat, and it's definitely a greater concern with Kat out. McDaniels had 6. Gobert had 4. Naz Reid had 8 on 3 of 13. Conley had 5 on 1 of 6 shooting. Second highest scorer on the team was Nikhil Alexander-Walker with 13 points off the bench. So just a really, really ugly offensive night from us. That was mostly predicated on stopping Ant or not letting him get involved to the extent that he usually is. And then sort of the other options not being able to take control. So Ant just ended up kind of taking control anyway, shooting those shots anyway, and them not particularly working. Jesus. Eddie Julian just ripped the ball. Hit it hard. But it hit like the pitcher and then didn't get a hit. So fucking A. Obviously, the Suns are a better team than whoever we're going to face in the first round of the playoffs. We also beat the Lakers by 10 points, 127-117. They didn't have LeBron or AD. Nas had 31 and 11 rebounds. Ant had 26 and 8. That's 8 assists. But checking in with the standings real quick. We are still the number one in the West. Tied right now. Both on 54 and 24 with the Nuggets. I believe 4 games left in the playoffs. Did I make that up? Or it's 4 games left until the playoffs. Did I make that up? 54 and 24 would add up to 76. Wait, what? That would mean... That would be 78. Jesus Christ. So that is 4 games left. Play the Wizards. We play the Nuggets. Huge, obviously. 1 seed implications there. We play the Hawks. And then we play the Suns, which... figured this out last time. We'll see if we can bounce back in that one. Well, we might be resting, guys. We'll see. But yeah. Obviously, whoever we play is going to be greatly affected by sort of the play-in scenario. Right now, the play-in teams are New Orleans, Sacramento, the Lakers, and Golden State. By the way, the game is starting. And I don't even have it on. I got to look alive here. Too busy potting. Biggest game of my year, money-wise, probably. Purdue's winning. Let's fucking go. Gosh, I'm actually nervous. I haven't felt this way since, like, the Vikings. Playoffs. Because I just don't think Purdue's going to win. And that's the way I usually feel in the Vikings when the Vikings go to the playoffs. Anyway, burping up a storm. Anyway, so yeah, seems likely we'll play in the, I mean, any 4 of those teams can, I gotta remind myself of how the play-in works. Any 4 of those teams can be the 7 and 8 seeds, right? Or did I make that up? I think I got that wrong. Because the 7 and 8 seeds play for the 7th seed. So that means if we're the 8th seed, or if we're the 1 seed, we can't play who the winner of the 7th, whatever. And then the loser of the 7-8 seed game plays the winner of the 9-10 seed game. Is that right? That sounds right. That feels right. That was goaltending. What the fuck? Okay. Anyway. All those teams are like a little bit broken. I think Sacramento and New Orleans are a little bit less broken than the other ones, obviously. Sacramento's a little bit interesting just because they have a few more options on the scoring end. That if we're just having a bad offensive night can kind of be an issue for us. Zach Edey's killing Donovan Klingon. Let's go. Let me check the notes, see if I have anything more. Oh, real quick, while we're talking about baseball, which we're not talking about anymore. the Athletics to Sacramento. What the fuck? They're going to be playing in a 14,000 seat stadium, like the Fargo Dome is about that, I think. It's obviously very embarrassing for the Athletics as a franchise, baseball as a sport, Major League Baseball as a league. And it's like crazy. Like the closest thing I can even think of to this is like when the Vikings played at TCF. It's like clearly not an NFL caliber stadium, but it also is a hell of a lot closer than a AAA stadium is to a Major League stadium. And we played at TCF because the Metrodome, like, destroyed itself, or, like, broke. It collapsed, right? It wasn't because some, like, dumbass little bitch owner, like, moved the team because he didn't want to, you know, because he didn't want to pay for a stadium in the new town that, like, won't accept him anyway. Obviously, enough people have talked about how horrible the A's owner is, and I don't need to be the one to do it, but it will be very bizarre to see MLB games, you know, to see, like, Twins away games at, like, Sutter Health Park in Sacramento. Like, what the fuck? But, yeah, it'll be, like, almost interesting the first year, and it's happening next year, I believe. But then this is happening for, like, 3 years until, like, 2028, potentially. And that part is nuts. You know, the third year playing in Sutter Health Park is, like, Jesus Christ, we got to watch this again. Yeah. Anyway, I think that's all the notes. I put the that note to talk about that in the NBA section on the notes, which is why I talked about it in the NBA section. Anyway, post game, bit of a happening past couple days. The old trusty Camry got a flat tire. Flat tires happen, you know, not great. Head to the place, see if they can, you know, patch it up. Worst case scenario, you get a new tire, then you get back on the road, right? Got a flat tire on the interstate. I was like low-key driving on the rims by the time I got home. Had somebody, one of my buddies come over to help, like, and this is a dude, not like, I know I have a lot of girls that are my friends here, but this is a dude that I'm friends with. Shout out Goose Max. Trying to help me change the tire. We could not, like, get the tire off of the car because it was so badly rusted on. And we got, like, the tires are new as of last year. So, like, they were, like, off last year, and then it just had so much rust in the past year. Or, like, a rusted on because everything else is fucking made of rust. The entire bottom of the Camry is made of rust. It's kind of bad. 13 winters in, like, the deep north of the Midwest. And also probably not, definitely not changing my oil as much as I should have for probably, like, the first 2 years that I owned the car has not been good to the Camry. So, essentially, I'm questioning whether it's better to just, like, sell it. So the Camry could potentially be, like, gone forever. I went to the dealership, right? Or not the dealership, the repair place. And they're like, all right, we fixed the tire. The little mud guard thing was dragging on the floor, too. That was fucking embarrassing. So we fixed that. Did an oil change. So, like, everything's good. But also, my power steering fluid was completely, like, empty because there's a leak in the hose or the tube or whatever. And then the brakes are completely shot. And so that we have to, like, redo the entire brakes or else it's going to be, like, unsafe to drive. And all of that is, like, $2,000. And, like, with every single maintenance thing that I've done in this car, it's, like, we run into additional troubles because of how rusty it is. So I'm starting to think that, like, it's just a better idea to sell it for whatever it's worth right now. Get another car that's maybe even the same year, maybe even similar number of miles, but just hasn't been through the winters. Because cars down here, they last forever because they don't, there's no ice on the roads. There's no need for salt on the roads. So then there's no rust. You know, they're not getting fucking wet and drying and all this shit that creates rust because it's freezing and melting or whatever. I don't actually know how that all works. But cars down here last way longer because of that than cars up north. And so I'm thinking I just get a car like that same year, same number of miles or close to it for like close to the same price. And then I trade it in, you know, maybe have a small monthly payment, and then I just have a car that's way better, even though, you know, it seems like it shouldn't be. So that's sort of what I'm percolating on right now. Probably going to happen because I really don't want to spend another $2,000 on this Camry the way, in the shape that it's in right now. But yeah, that's the post game. Potentially gone forever, the Camry. After many, many years. Drove to high school and shit. Miami might have killed it. Also kind of sucks because I like missed my exit and then drove over like a part of the highway that you're not supposed to drive over. And I'm pretty sure that was where I got the flat because there was like something on the road. But yeah, that's it. Wrench emoji for the car repair. See ya.
All right, welcome into the Intern Allen Show. Two of my bosses, Loon Beast and Loon Mags, are golf experts. How are we doing, boys?
Doing well.
Doing well. All right. We're obviously to talk about the Masters. Starts this Thursday, recording this Sunday night. Pod's probably going to come out Monday night / Tuesday morning when I can record the rest of it. Been a little bit of a busy guy, but they're here to talk about the Masters, which I would talk about, and I love the Masters, but not at all plugged into the golf scene right now. I've been too busy winning March Madness pools. Knock on wood, Purdue wins. So right away, boys, just some initial thoughts. Maybe each of you share like 2-3 things that we're going to start with that you're looking for in this in this Masters tournament for everybody else that isn't locked in the way that I am.
Well, if anyone can get practice round coverage, there should be a man running around tomorrow that they could possibly see on screen.
Who could that be?
So if you spot him and send it to the Loon, we will send you some free merchandise.
Just for everybody who doesn't know, because I obviously know who this man is. Which man are we talking about?
The small man?
Oh, is that why he's down there? I didn't even know.
He's going to be on site. You got to get him on a call and get some first.
It'll be Greensville. He's going to be so mad when this comes out. He wasn't invited to. He's there and he wasn't invited to the preview show.
We could have had.
You can get him on Wednesday or something.
Busy guy.
Come on, too.
I don't have time for another podcast this week. He will be hard to spot. Loon Schmidt, if you're hearing this, try to get on TV. Where's some Loon merch to get us on the map?
Beast, do you want to start off with any big thoughts you got going into the week?
Yeah. I think it's going to be a really good Masters, just every year, always a great tournament. Scotty is looking phenomenal. I really hope somebody can compete with him, but not sure we'll be able to do that.
Yeah, looking at the stats, it's not looking good for the field in terms of how Scotty Scheffler's been doing, that if he really gets going, that he's kind of just better than everyone else, which I'm not sure I'm the biggest fan of going into this week, but I think there's some good players out there that can put up a good fight with him. I wouldn't hate some live guys making some noise and putting pressure on Scotty rather than him running away with it for sure.
Yeah, I agree. Last year was a lot of fun with all those live guys actually playing really well.
Number one live
But
podcast, holy shit. If you were to see a bet that was like Scotty versus the field at like +500 to like whatever the other thing is, what are we choosing?
well, he is +500 to win.
Right. I know. So if that was, are you taking
I
that
will not
plus
be
five
betting
hundred
on
or we
that.
take everybody else? I know you're probably not, but like what would you do?
I think Scotty, the way he's been putting, not going to be good enough.
Right. That
I mean,
seems to be the
he's
only
a
thing, I think.
notorious bad putter. So
Yeah.
Right.
I'm not sure. I feel like the odds, I don't know what the odds on that would be.
Yeah, I don't know about the other side. I don't have it in front of me, but
Haven't done those numbers.
haven't done the whole. I just let me look it up. Traveler versus the
His
field.
strokes gained total, because I was stats guy looking at stats on who to bet on. His strokes gained total is 2.8. The next best is Xander Schauffele, notorious choker, at 1.9.
Wow.
So
Yeah.
he's just way better.
He just stuffs it at the pin and then misses his putts.
Yeah.
I think
So
he's a,
it
do you guys
seems.
remember when he won a few years ago and he four putted on 18?
Yeah, it was low-key
Was
embarrassing. But
crazy.
all right, so it seems like Scotty is like sort of the main story of the tournament because he's been playing so well, and this just seems like he's the guy that's gonna win. The next like top five guys, and that's Rory at +1,000, Rahm at +1,300, Brooks and Jordan Spieth and Will Zalatoris and Victor Hovland all at +2,100. Of those guys, who do we like to maybe be the big star that wins other than Scottie Scheffler?
I think the clear number two is Rom, and I'm putting him in as kind of a lock as a top 10 bet, but I haven't looked at those odds because he's finished first T27, T5, T7, T9.
Fair
And I
enough.
see no reason why that would change, and he's just a beast there. Do
You know how he's been playing on the other tour?
Haven't
How's
looked.
his form?
I have no idea. Those guys just disappear to me.
Yeah,
Yeah,
same.
me
They
too.
totally non-existent. I like Hovland too. I'm kind of partial to Hovland. I really feel like he's going to bust through one of these major seasons, and I want to be part of that. But so far, I just hop on the train, and then it doesn't come through. So, kind of
He's a
off.
fun guy to cheer for, and he's got really good outfits for sure. They look great.
Yeah, good. He's just like Xander Schauffele, who's like right below him in the
Oh,
odds
he's
table.
more of a closer than Xander.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I won't be betting on either Xander or Patrick Cantlay because they both stink when it comes to anything serious if it's not the Olympics.
Yeah.
Schauffele, top 10 bet, great bet. Schauffele to
Great
win,
bet.
might as well throw that money in the fire.
Yeah, for real. He is like the eighth favorite to win, but like, and that's because he's maybe the eighth best golfer, but like he's not actually gonna win. Nobody jumping on Rory to end the drought finally.
No.
I'll be emotionally invested. I don't know if I can be fiscally invested as well. Might tear me apart.
I'd like to see it, but I just don't think he's going to get it done.
Right. All right, so let's just go through each of you have picks that you like think are gonna hit and make money. So let's go through these. We'll start with Loon Mags.
All right, I've got so other top guys we've kind of already touched on, but I'm definitely looking at Hovland, just really strong player. He kind of fits the mold of someone that should be good at Augusta in terms of keeping the fairway and being usually good at greens and regulation. Schauffele to finish high and not win is what I wrote. Hideki, another guy that always plays well at Augusta. I wrote his finishes down
He played well this
T16,
week too.
T14 first, T13, and then a slew of other between like 20th and above. So, I mean, he's just real steady there. I haven't looked at his odds at all because I haven't placed my bets, but. And then the major stat I'm looking at is greens in regulation. And the top five right now there are Scheffler, Corey Connors, Victor Perez, Alex Noren, and Aaron Rye.
Who the fuck is
Two
Victor
gloves.
Perez?
I don't know who Victor Perez
I've
is.
never heard that guy in my life.
But Alex Noren, I want to be my sleeper. Although, from what I saw, he's only played at Augusta once and missed the cut.
Yeah, I
Which
don't
he's
know.
played well the last 2 weeks, actually. I followed him because I picked him in a pool and then Mo picked him.
I
I
just feel like
mean,
Augusta eats some of those new guys alive. And it's like you got to play it a couple times before.
Then
Because
Aaron
even
Rye
the
is for sure
competent out there.
a guy that you hear about, and I don't even know what he looks like, but he's on the tour in some fashion.
You don't want to pick him. He plays with two gloves.
Two gloves.
Two black rain gloves.
Tommy, two gloves. I
He
see
thinks he's
that.
Teddy Bridgewater.
See, I'd
But
say,
he is a good ball striker, like you said.
yeah,
He's probably just
my top
sweaty.
guys that aren't like Rahm and Scheffler would be, I like both Hovland and Hideki, and then possibly sprinkle in a, I hate to say it because I'm quite a broken record on this guy, but Corey Connors, he's just
Jesus. I
he
quit.
could be good here. He really
Hey,
should.
quick. Have you ever,
Good
like,
there.
what's the hit rate on the Corey Connors bets?
I don't think it's great. I really, I don't know. I don't know if it's over
Just
50.
running back
I got
every
the Corey
tournament.
Connor stats in front of me because he's also on my list. So when it's
Jesus.
my turn, I'll give
Jesus
them to
Christ.
you.
He's a real bastard. You just always got to pick him. Hey, run through the stats beast.
Corey Connors?
Yeah, I
Yeah.
got here.
Yeah, so he's about plus 9,000 to win the tournament.
Sure
Last
is.
four showings at Augusta. He's gotten better every year. T46, T10,
Oh.
T8, T6.
I
He's due
forgot
for a
that he
top
was around
five.
a little bit last year. Yeah, I guess.
He is probably top five ball strikers in the world.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe. He's really
I mean,
good.
I don't know right now, but just in terms of usually, if you look, he's there. Well,
Yeah. He's
Alex
consistent.
Noren is also top in scrambling. That's another thing I was going to point out. That's important at Augusta.
So
So,
we're on the Alex Noren train.
I other than the fact that I think he's only played there once and missed the cut, which is
So what
really
do
good.
you like him as like a top 20 or?
I don't know. I'd have to look at the odds.
I couldn't find the odds
40
earlier when
or
I was
can't
checking
even
it, but
find Buddy on the odds. Is he going to the
that would be really bad if he's not.
tournament?
He might not be.
I'm
If
very
you go on the Masters website, it has the field.
Do you think he's in
don't know.
it? Is he top 50 in the world?
Neither of us have actually looked that far into Alex Noren.
If he's not top 50 in the world and he hasn't won a tournament, he's
can promise you
probably
Victor
not
Perez
making
or
it.
whatever, and Aaron Rye are probably not there either.
So that could be, yeah, we might want to ignore some of those comments.
Hey, good names to think about. Just get on
Yeah,
your
just
radar.
if you're looking for a real sleeper, Alex Noren, who's not, looks like he's not playing, could be a good pick.
Next year. I don't think any of the th those shitty three that you mentioned are playing.
None of those.
Aaron Rye and Victor, whatever, and
You know
what's
what?
the
I
other
know
one?
your editor's busy, so we're gonna leave all that in anyways for the
Yeah, the
listeners.
editor will not be it. I've only edited one thing, actually. And that's because
I
I
didn't
made
know
notes.
that
So.
you could edit, so
Oh, I
I apologize.
can. I've only done it one time. And
Did
it's because
you
I said something really stupid that made it look like I don't know ball and had to cover it
realize
up.
you don't?
accurate. That's why I edited it out. Loon Beast, any other bets?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
My favorite bet of the week is Brooks Koepka to win the tournament plus 2,000.
What color
Really?
is his hair right now?
I
Is
believe it's dark brown.
dark
It
brown
could be
again.
blonde when he shows up, who knows?
It
But
wasn't when he was blonde.
I think he just cut his mullet recently, is what I saw
That's
on
your
TikTok.
favorite.
His wife's a big TikToker.
Yeah.
No, he's an absolute boss in all majors. T2 last year. He missed the cut two previous years, but he was injured then, so we're not worried about that. And before that, two other top tens, so I like it.
What about a bet
Check.
that isn't for a winner?
Well, I haven't seen those other odds, but I got a few other winner plays I'm considering. I'm kind of with you on Hovland. He's so good. Wears cool shirts. He was top 10 last year as well. Couple other sleeper plays. I know you mentioned Corey Connors, great pick there. Have we discussed Sungjae Him?
Oh, he wasn't on my list, but he probably
He's
should.
plus 7,000. A lot of value there for a guy who's really good.
Has
He's
he
in the
like won anything
No,
recently?
he hasn't won for 2 years.
Okay, that's what I thought.
But
Generally,
and
I
he's
should.
in
I'm not
he
an
is in
idiot here.
terrible form right now as well. But
Good.
my confidence is still there. He's a boss at Augusta.
I wore my Sungjae freaking Im shirt to campus one day, and a lot of Little Music nerds very confused as to what that meant.
That's so awesome.
It was just impossible to explain.
Were there any actual questions asked or just weird?
You like a lot.
That's awesome.
What does your shirt mean? It's a
You'll
golfer. What?
see. You'll see when he's putting the green jacket on Sunday.
Yeah, I was like, you ever watch golf? They're like, no. Okay.
I got one other kind of a sleeper and one other live guy I'm watching. Sleeper. Not really a sleeper, but he's got sleeper value. Tom Kim.
Tom
Oh.
Kim.
He played once before T16 last year.
Yeah.
Always plays well in big events and majors from the little bit of experience he has, but I don't think it's long before he finds a major and could be this one. And then my other live guy, Neiman, plus 3,000.
Move.
Special invite to the Masters. He's playing really well. Pretty much earned his way to get that invite. So I think, and he's kind of the one that he's got a lot of talk about people saying it's bad going to live and whatnot, and he throws a lot of shots. So I think him finishing maybe top 10 would be a good pick.
His swing
Fair enough.
stinks.
Does it?
I find it kind of gross.
Isn't he a little skinny guy?
He is, and
He's a small little
Little skinny, like Chilean dude.
Spanish guy.
He really
Yeah.
torques his back when he swings. It looks weird to me. I don't like it.
Swings hard.
I
He
support
does.
the pick. Any nibbles on some of like the older guys that it's always like it always seems like every year there's a guy that's won before or played really well before that just knows his way around the course and ends up scoring really well and getting top five, top 10, maybe even winning. Any nibbles on those guys? Maybe an Adam Scott, maybe a Tiger Woods, maybe a Phil. Tiger Woods, that's not a serious question, but
Hopefully Tiger Woods can play 4 rounds of golf.
yeah,
Yeah, hopefully he'll
we'll put
play
it that way.
two. Like,
Is there one player beast that stands out to you that we haven't mentioned, kind of fitting into the realm of what Alan's talking about? Not that
Sergio
I have my eye
Garcia.
on, no.
Spieth?
Steve, yeah,
Yeah.
I wouldn't. He's not quite that old,
You're
but
also
yeah, no,
not.
he.
You're not
Other
giving
than
any
the
real
word
value.
old, he's fitting into that mold.
I
Spieth was
was
doing
more looking at
Spieth
the
stuff
guys
this
that
week,
are,
so
plus 16,000.
yeah, no,
I
I'll keep
mean,
my
I'd
coin.
love to play a Phil bat. That'd be
Probably not
sick.
playing them to win, but whatever the odds are for them to get top 20.
I think Phil kind of. I think it was kind of a fluke that he played well last year, if you can call it a fluke. I don't think he'll do that again.
I think the tough thing with that is like one of them probably will play well, but like which one? And then you pick the wrong one and you lose your
Probably
coins.
Patrick Reed.
Yeah. Plus 9,000. Sheesh.
These guys going to live has really thrown a wrench in what I know about them because like we haven't even talked about Cam Smith. Is he a
True. He's on my list here.
True.
But I don't think I'll actually bet him. He's never missed a cut at Augusta.
He's also a stone cold killer.
He's such a good
Very.
putter. Well, there is a reason not to bet him. He shaved the mullet.
Oh.
Good.
These
You
guys just
call
disappear on me. I didn't even know he
that.
shaved the mullet. That's crazy.
Live TikTok is all over my feed.
Oh, there you go. You're in the loop.
Yeah, so I'm kind of in the loop. I
Live
don't really know who wins, but they post a lot of
correspondent. Well,
dumb
like
videos.
teams win, don't they?
Yeah, I think the
Smash or
Gleeks were
whatever.
playing pretty well.
The who's?
The Gleeks.
The
I think that's what they're called. Isn't it, Jack?
Gleeks? Like when you gleek out your mouth?
Yeah. Pretty
I don't
sure.
have a
The guy
single
from No Laying
clip
Up's a supporter.
of the
All
gleeks.
of them. Tron Carter?
Whoa.
Set a
I
golf
thought you
ball in a
were
tree. Listen to
going
this.
to
The
smash.
Gleeks
Live.
had a golf ball in a tree and a fan climbed it to get it out.
Teams.
I thought TC was a Smash fan.
The cliques.
Cliques, not Gleeks.
Why
That
they
was
call
close.
that doesn't make any sense though either. What is a clique?
Who's on the roster? Races.
Martin Keimer. Richard Bland, whoever the fuck that is.
The
Adrian
Crushers.
Mironk. I've actually heard of him.
Maronk. He's a stud.
Kalei Samuja.
Don't know him.
I think those are the two randos are just like live players only. They didn't come from anything.
Kevin Na and Martin Keimer being captains in LIV is
How
just
are the cliques playing well
so
if
good.
this is their roster?
Yeah, maybe they're not playing well. Maybe I just saw the golf ball thing and
I saw Adrian
yeah,
Mironk saying
Tron
he's
is
coming to the
a
Masters.
Tron's Twitter. He's a Cliques guy. They were plus
Cliques.
12 today, actually. Terrible.
I still don't even understand why how they could be called that. Doesn't even make sense. Adrian Mironk. Let me find him. He was on here, I swear.
What a joke of a team.
19,000 plus 19,000.
How
Not
old
bad.
is Bland?
190-1. Richard Bland, not invited to the Masters. He's playing in whatever tournament Aaron Rye is playing in this weekend.
He looks like he's 65 years old.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he's old.
He's 51.
Jesus. Probably cashing paychecks too.
Loon Megs, what do you think about Willie Z this week?
Oh, I don't know.
Or
You
I got another guy on my list
know.
that you like, Tommy Ladd.
Oh, I don't tempt me into Tommy Ladd because he's another guy like I don't know why, but I view Hovland, Tommy Ladd, and I'm not thinking of another good example, but I view them in a different camp than I view Cantlay and Shoffley. Like even though it's kind of the same thing that like because Fleetwood hasn't broken through similar to Shoffley, but for some reason I think he's gonna. And I think Xander just never will. I don't know why.
Well, Xander's won a few times, just nothing major. Fleetwood hasn't won on US soil yet.
No, he just
Right.
wins big time Euro events.
He kills the
Yeah.
Euro events that have like girls in them sometimes. Has Willie Z been playing well? I feel like he doesn't play
Not
that often.
consistently.
Or like he's never
He's
around, but he like randomly
still
pops
coming
up here
back
and there.
from, he's got that back surgery that he was out all year last year. He's still
Right.
recovering. I think his odds are crazy being at plus 2,000 this week. I think that's
Also, like,
like
what did, like, he got second one time and then,
he's
like,
good in
maybe
majors.
tended another time, like, but. Is that enough to earn him
He's
like the top seven odds? I each.
His two he's been in the Masters twice, second and T6.
Right. I guess he just plays there, like plays well there. But has he ever won anything like significant? Maybe players? Did I make that up?
He's just had really good finishes.
He takes second in a lot of tournaments.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think he has a big time win. I think he has one win.
Right. Crazy.
But yeah, I don't think
Sebo.
he's not ready yet, I don't think.
One other guy, maybe before we get, I think we should get a couple Allen picks just to get him on the book and really show off his knowledge. But I do think that Ludvig, assuming he's in the field, another
He
thing
is, he is, he
he's in
is.
the field. Yep.
Plus 2,400. Everybody loves Ludvig.
I'm not sure if
And he's a
I'd count
stud.
him to win, but that'll be it'll be a fun story to watch and could be a fun like top 20 bet, depending on what the odds are.
Probably
Top
pretty good
20
for
will
top 20.
not be
He's.
good for him.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Maybe top
Probably
10.
like very favored to be top 20.
Yeah.
Given that he's like listed in the top 10 of odds here. My picks. All right, everybody actually, before we get to my picks, everybody throw out like a deep sleeper just so if anything hits, then you get credit for it. You don't even have to like have any reasoning behind it.
Oh, okay. Well, you go first because I want to look up the betting board.
All right, I'm
Yeah, I don't
looking.
have a deep sleeper. My sleeper is Sung Jae. I'd consider
My
that a sleeper this year.
deep sleeper is Ryo Hisatsune.
Oh my gosh.
Never heard of him
Interesting.
in my life. If he wins, I'm getting credit. I'm victory lapping that hard.
All right.
Also,
I think plus
Emiliano Grillo.
18,000 is sleeper. Right?
Plus how many?
Plus 18,000.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Give me Keegan Bradley.
Keegan, I can
He's
see.
plus 18,000.
I'm at plus 19,000 on
The
what I was
one
looking
I'm
up.
looking at right now.
All right, I got a sleeper. Always Luke List. It was
Was
always Luke
always Luke
List,
List.
plus
I thought about mentioning him,
21,000.
but he's yours.
I figured you were gonna say Hoagie.
Not playing.
Hoagie's not playing.
Oh, why
Not
is he
being
on here for
qualified.
odds?
But he thinks everybody's in the Masters.
He's on here for odds. Well, he's
Is
not
it?
playing.
Well, don't bet on him.
Where is he on the odds?
He's not top
He's
50 in the
near
world
Keegan.
anymore, so he didn't make it. And he hasn't won in a while.
Didn't get the invite.
You got him at plus 12,000. Place your
Should bet
bet.
it.
Might take it. That's a pretty good number. You never know, right?
Right.
What about one player we didn't mention? I believe he called it a par 68.
Oh,
Bryson.
the big golfer.
Bryson.
A
He's slimmed down now, hasn't he?
little bit.
He fell off
That's
so hard.
heavy. He played well last year, didn't he?
I think so. I
He
don't
was
know.
like top
Oh
20.
man,
That's
he
going
went to
to be
live and I
huge.
forgot who he was. It's...
He
Anyway,
still has some like insane comments every
I
once in a
miss
while.
watching that idiot hit the golf ball.
I miss
God.
him too, dude. When Bryson and Brooks were both on the PGA
He's
Tour,
hilarious.
it was so entertaining. I used to like low key stan Bryson as well. Thought he
If
was
you were to guess,
misunderstood. I
does
thought he was
Bryson have one
misunderstood.
or two middle names?
Who?
Two.
Bryson?
Dumb. He could not look like more of a
What
two.
are his middle names?
James Aldrich.
Bryson James Aldrich DeChambeau. That sucks. All right, my picks. I'm just shooting from the hip here. I like Scottie Scheffler. I'm just kidding. I mean, I do, but
Think everyone does.
I'll go.
Do you need like a word bank, bud?
No, I'm looking at the word bank right now. I'll go Jon Rahm.
Oh my God.
Okay, well, I'm picking like a couple. Like some of them are going to be favorites, some of them are not going to be. All right. So Jon Rahm's my favorite. Like halfway down the list in the plus 5,000 range. I like Minwoo Lee. I can't quit him. Feel like I
Nice.
bet him all the time. I don't actually bet him, but like I pick him for a shit.
Is this his first appearance?
How the hell
No,
thought
because I
he
think
was
I
gonna
picked him last year and he didn't do anything.
be
Or
like
maybe that was
even
for a British Open thing. I don't remember. In the deep
third
sleepers.
Masters appearance for Minwoo.
I obviously
Wow.
have Rio Hisatsune locked in as well.
Good pick.
Then I'll go. I'll go Adam Scott plus 12,000. Those are my picks.
Chalky.
Will not be betting any coins on them.
Okay,
But
chalk boy.
what do you mean?
Chalky pick.
Who?
You. Who else was making picks?
John Rahm? Is that the chalky pick?
Yeah,
Well,
that is
yeah.
pretty chalky.
I mean, I
That's like
picked
picking
one of the
Purdue in your
favorites.
bracket.
Yeah, my bracket. If Purdue wins, I'm gonna make so much money tomorrow because of that bracket.
God, I hope they lose.
They are for sure gonna lose.
They're gonna lose. I
When
agree with
Alabama
you.
had it kind of close, I was like, this would like make my life because then I don't have to worry about it at all.
So do you have a to kind of, I don't know, how much more do you want to talk, Alan? Do you have a favorite part of Masters Week? Is what I was gonna ask.
I think the best part, see, like when I say this, I think thinking back to when I had time to watch golf.
Buy me a river.
This week, literally, I have like my Masters
No,
recital the day
long
after.
ass.
I didn't know that.
You're playing in the Masters during the Masters, is that what you
No,
said?
I have my Masters recital the day after, so I'm gonna be stressed as fuck all Sunday.
As
Anyway.
cool as that sounds.
Right. I think back in the day, it was definitely go on the Masters live coverage,
Oh yeah.
like every period of school, every class in college. I'll probably hop on at work now, which I've had ESPN Plus a while, so it like starts at like 9 a.m.
It's
And just like then kind of forget about it Friday because I'm usually doing other things, but then absolutely locked in on Saturday and Sunday. Growing up, nothing like getting back from church, Beth and Jim, Loon, Goose, Beth and Jim, not letting me leave the house and just camping out on the couch and watching the Masters. It was always tough though when like dinner time would roll around. If it was like the same time as the finish, I was just like fucked or I just couldn't watch it because we had to go do Sunday dinner, but
you couldn't just say like I'll be there in a minute. That's way too
no.
realistic. Way too realistic.
Maybe
So
like maybe like my last year at home, I could have done that, but not for any of the rest of the time. Definitely not when my sister was around. Now that's not a problem anymore. I'll be watching.
that's good. I'm happy that's not a problem anymore.
Actually,
That's good without you.
Goose Beth is literally like in Miami on Saturday, so she'll be here. So maybe it is a problem this year.
I should have been better organized. I thought
Well,
they were never coming to Miami.
it's my fault for scheduling my recital the day after the fucking
You got to
my round.
choose when it was.
Yeah, well, like choose within a couple options, and I wanted it
You're
as
the
late as
dumbest team
possible.
though.
But also, I mean, it's my fault too. But the Masters isn't usually like the second week in April. I
Fair,
thought it's always
fair.
like
I
around
should take
the
your side there.
like the
It's
seventh or
later this
whatever.
year.
Like, why isn't it this week?
I agree.
But so I was like, April 15th. There's nothing there on the sports calendar. Like Jackie Robinson Day, maybe. But nothing else. Like, there's nothing I need to miss. But yeah, that'll be the tradition will be fucked up this year, but that's what it is. That's what will be next year, hopefully.
Beast. Beast, favorite part. What do you think?
Favorite part, honestly, just turning it on and seeing that beautiful golf course. Just watching that for 4 days straight. No work getting done Thursday and Friday.
Majestic.
Just so majestic. So jealous of Loon Schmidt getting to see that in person this year.
I gotta go
I'll win
sometime.
that drawing sometime.
Yeah.
I decided that if I don't win the drawing, that I want to go back so bad that I'll just buy it at some point.
Could do that too.
Just do
You
it
buy
secondhand.
shell out the bread.
You
Yeah.
buy it on like Game Time or what?
It's just really probably not Game Time,
No, I
but
figured, but
are they the sponsors? We better plug them because they're probably paid you to run this.
not sponsors. Not sponsors.
But I think they're really expensive, but I already decided it would be worth it to go back because so sick.
Practice round, regular round, does it matter?
No.
I'd go for Sunday,
Well,
personally.
that's got to be
Shut
crazy
up.
expensive. Then you don't get to see half the guys.
That's true. Aaron Rodgers won't be there.
He's not there anyways, but we got he's a sleeper.
He's
So.
just asleep. What's your tradition, Loon Mags?
I think that actually I think my favorite day of it might honestly just be Thursday because the beginning of it is just so electric getting to see them like start off with the Magnolia Lane drive. They start announcing the players off the tee, and you're like, oh fuck, I've been waiting a whole year for this. Like inject this right into my left arm, please.
Left
And then
arm.
Sunday is good too, but Thursday, especially when you can just sit and watch at work or school, so good.
Wake up early, watch wait, who's still alive? Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player and Tom Watson, is that who it is now?
And they better give Gary Player the mic, see what he says.
Oh, boy. Then they just show the same replay of it for like every hour for the next 3 days.
You or Jack Nicklaus right now, who hits it farther? Be honest.
Thing is, with driver, I'm hitting it way farther, to be real.
Okay.
When I went to the, I talked about it on the post game. When I went to the range, I could not hit an iron at all, but I was still ripping driver.
Now you're recording post game?
Not very straight, but sorry, one more time.
You already recorded the post game?
No, it was a couple weeks ago.
No, nah, that was
This
a previous pod if you were a regular
Friday.
listener.
Post game this week is a little rant, I think. Have a
Okay,
topic picked
cool.
out, not going to spoil. All right, any closing thoughts of the Masters?
I've got a trivia question for our listeners just for fun.
All right. Are the hosts going to answer or no?
You can guess. I'm not going to tell if you're right or wrong.
Okay. All right.
What year did Jordan Spieth win the Masters?
Oof.
Oh, that's too easy.
Is it?
I got it.
I have a
See,
problem
I'll let our host.
I have a problem with golf events where I never remember who wins them. I could watch the entire event and then the next year I forget who won.
Who won the Masters last year?
Jon Rahm.
I was hoping you didn't know because that
And
would
then
be
the reason
funny.
I know that is not because I remember last year. I like saw a TikTok about his champions dinner like this week. And so that's like why last year was Jon Rahm won the Masters. Brooks won the PGA. Or was it the US Open?
He, what do you want last year?
What
That a
did he win
question
one
or are
last
you
year?
guessing? I don't know what you're doing. What are you
I'm
talking
running
about?
through last year.
He's
I'm
trying
running
to
through
say
what
the
happened
majors
last
last
year.
year.
We're
You're
trying to
gonna
say
go
what
all the
happened.
way back.
I
I know what it was.
don't know. I forgot about the Jordan Spieth question. I'm gonna say 2017.
Okay.
Am I right, Loon Beast?
2015.
Oh shit.
What's that beast? Is it
You said
not? I'm pretty sure it is.
2015.
I didn't hear it.
He said 2015.
2015.
Okay. We'll be back next week with some more trivia. I'm
Okay,
not gonna say.
why don't you just say I'll look it up right now?
No, don't. I want.
We gave the listeners plenty of time to
They have
guess.
plenty of time. What are they gonna
Okay.
do? Like submit an email to us saying what it is?
It's
Is
2015.
it 2015?
It is.
I was going to say 2016, and then I thought that was too early, so I said 2017. Either way, I
And
would have been
Brooks
wrong.
did
I
win
think
the
that's why I
PGA.
remember it, is that it Brooks
was.
won the PGA.
Who won the US Open?
British Open was Cam Smith. Or was that the year before?
Year before.
Fuck. See, this is what I'm saying. I lose them. They lose my, like,
Take
I
a
won some
guess.
crap
Coin on
money.
that one.
Take a guess on what?
Who won them last year? British Open, US Open.
Cam Smith was my guess. I don't have any other idea.
He's not very tall.
Brian Harman. Yeah, see, I get prompted and it comes back to me.
And then the other one.
The US Open.
Yep. Ricky was in the running. He didn't win. Two
Where
hints.
was it?
Where was it? Good question. New York?
Yeah, I was Hoy Lake. Or is that British
That's
Open?
right. Now, Hoy Lake is British Open, isn't it?
I think you're right.
What was it?
He's a Ryder Cup player.
Oh, Wyndham Clark.
Oh, nice.
I didn't
Nice. We
watch
just need
that
a little
one.
nudge. Just need a
I
nudge.
couldn't watch that
Cool.
one. I think I was in Italy. That's what it was. I was in Italy. Yeah. Couldn't watch it. All right, is that it? Anybody else
That's
have
not
anything to
that.
say?
No, I think look at Hideki, Hovland. Beast had some good ones as well. Corey Connors, Tom Kim. And try to avoid Alex Noren. Try to not let him pop off the page for you.
You might win whatever tournament is going
Hey,
on
get your
in
Tom Hoagie bets in.
Hawaii or
Looking
whatever it is
good.
this week, but all right,
Yeah,
that's
thanks
it.
for having us on. We'll pay you
Of
this week.
course. Good.
Yeah, can you make an edit for when Sungjae hits and he's putting that green jacket on? Say that I called it.
What do you
That's the
mean?
only player you said today.
He's due.
All right.
If
No, my
I have to,
actual
if there's
pick was
one
Brooks.
player I said today, it's Corey Connors. We ride.
Good. All right. And on that, we're ending the pod.
All right. Well, now the championship game is over. I said I'd pop up back on here and share my thoughts. Oh, sorry. I just realized I fucked up and I recorded the post game on the part that you've already listened to. So the post game is going to happen not at the end, but whatever. I'm not gonna edit that and fix it. I feel like what happened is exactly what myself and everybody else expected to happen. They're just a better team. God, it's annoying. I will say, thankfully, I like didn't have a lot of hope, right? So. I never really had in my mind that I was going to win $400. And so it was like, this is, kind of what I expected. So it doesn't hurt that much. The first quarter of the game, first 10 minutes, or whatever, they were right there with him, but Edie was making every like 15-foot little hooks, and it's just like you could just kind of tell that it wasn't gonna be that way the entire game. He wasn't necessarily getting easy shots. He had a couple in there. Purdue threw their punches early in the game. But you could just kind of tell that UConn was getting their points from open shots, layups. And Purdue was getting their points from difficult post hooks from Zach Edey and like dribble step back threes from Braden Smith. And it was just like that was never going to be sustainable. Purdue kind of had to play a perfect game and they were able to sustain that game for 10 minutes, which, it was a good 10 minutes, and they kind of sustained it for the entire half. But in the second, what amounted to the second quarter, obviously, it's not like that in real real life college men's basketball, but sort of the second half of that first half, it was pretty clear that UConn was better. I think I wrote the note, UConn isn't obviously better, but they are better. And it's not good enough to be almost as good as UConn, you know? You have to actually beat them. And that was something that couldn't happen. There's a moment where Zach Edey went off the court, and it was just like, we have, like, UConn probably had the five best players on the court at that time when Zach Edey was off the court. So, and the second that those little post hooks weren't going in, and he was even getting some, like, low position and just not converting. Donovan Klingon played a really good game. It looks like he didn't because Zach Edey got a bunch of points, but he was still limited. The fact that they were able to single-team Edey meant that nobody else on the rest of the team got going. Purdue's guards looked just worse. They looked a little bit like shell-shocked early in the game, that they just like weren't quite up to the level competition that UConn was bringing to them, and then they just like defensively just weren't good enough, which we kind of knew. I don't know, they needed to play with huge balls tonight, and Braden Smith had like huge balls for about 6 minutes of the game, and he had that little spurt in the first half, but other than that, like, there was not a point in the second half where the game was even in question. I think obviously it was 36-30 at half. At that point, you could say, yeah, Purdue could win this game. But within 4 minutes of the second half, it was pretty clear that UConn was winning the game. They're just a really good team, like a complete team. Low-key a shitty Final Four, not a single close game. The whole tournament happened to just sort of determine what everybody knew going in, that UConn was the best team. Yeah, I mean, it just is what it is. I have some notes. I don't know. I feel like that was, like, there's almost only so much to say because we've been seeing UConn do this, you know, the entire month and really this entire year. I mentioned in the preview that you've already listened to, that came out after the game is over, that UConn, or that Zach Edey would have to be so much better than Donovan Klingon that it wasn't even close enough to like overshadow how overmatched the rest of the team was. And he legitimately was that for a little bit. And he was on a fucking tear to start the game. I was like, if we can do this the entire game, which, you know, always knew we couldn't. But yeah, I'll just take a peek at my notes. I wrote, like, immediately, I'm worried Purdue's guards aren't ready to play. I don't necessarily think they weren't ready to play, having watched the entire game. They just weren't as good. Edey is, though, nice. Good. I wrote Edey carrying this load is unsustainable. That's so accurate. Big balls, Braden Smith getting involved. That's when he had big balls for about 3 minutes. Need to diversify on offense. Yeah, it was just the only option seemed to be, let's feed Zach Edey and hope he gets to the line or gets a layup, which I know people are going to be like, oh, Purdue, that's all they do. And anyway, that's all their option has been this entire tournament. And maybe that's true, but obviously it's worked the entire time. It just, when it came down to the guards being able to get their own shot or get something open for themselves without getting Zach Edey involved, it just was never going to happen against this team. And Edey just couldn't be as efficient. God damn, he had 37, though. Jesus Christ. It's just another unbelievable game for him, but It's just feeding the post. Shout out my former blog. It's just feeding the post to hopefully get 2 points from a post-up big man. It's just not the most efficient way to play basketball unless that guy is overwhelmingly more dominant than the guy he's playing, which against almost every other team in college, Zach Edey is. See, I mean, at literally every other team, they're clearly the second-best team in the nation. But against this team, to match the efficiency that UConn plays with on offense, it just wasn't going to happen that way without the guards contributing something significant on their own, and they just weren't going to do that. I wrote "So Dead." I think I wrote that with, like, as I said, like 3 minutes into the second half. I wrote "Number four on Purdue runs around a lot, but that's all he does." Yeah, that's something I don't even know who that is. That's like the small forward dude. Just a lot of running around and not a lot of skill from that guy. Last note, I stopped taking notes because the game was basically over. The last note is Dan Hurley's wife is just like bonk me. Like, wow. Also, daughter question on the age, so I probably shouldn't say that, but his son's college age, so whatever. Anyway, that's the podcast. I've already said the emoji, but yeah, that's it. Sad boy season. Shout out to Lynn Meggs for winning Road to the Final Loon. Little bitch.